Thank you so much, Heritage Seniors. If you're glad to be a student at Maranatha Baptist University, would you say a hearty amen? Amen. We're excited that you're here. The years in front of you are thrilling times. You're going to make wonderful friends. Some of you are going to find your life mate here, and some of you are going to determine the will of God as you surrender your will to the will of the King of the Ages. I was thrilled as you were singing, "This Morning Is Still the Cross." I watched Andy Glaser go up, and it's just been exciting to see the songs he's writing, the places he's preaching, and you have potential. Every time I come to a Bible college, I look around and I see the hundreds of students, and that's the word that comes to my mind, it's potential. If you'll give all that you are to all that Jesus is, when you come to the end of life and go to the judgment seat of Christ, you'll not be ashamed but acclaimed. Be an impact player. Make sure that every day you live for eternity, that you invest your life and don't waste one single day. I'm your servant for Jesus' sake. I'll be around on the campus. I look forward to talking to you, praying with you. Do anything I can to be a help to you. I'll be here through Friday morning, then catch a flight and go to our next meeting. Would you take God's word this morning and open it to the book of Ephesians and go with me to chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. For how many of you have I met before? I've been somewhere where you've been, and you've either heard me preach or we have met somehow. Would you raise your hand real high? God bless you. As my friends in Alabama would say, good to re-meet you. I'm glad I can see you again. Now, for how many of you, this is the first time I'm meeting you? Would you raise your hand real high? Well, I want to be a blessing and I want to be a help. Our ministry takes us nationally and internationally around the world preaching the gospel. We are now doing some crusades in Cuba. God has opened the door over there. Many are coming to Jesus Christ. I'm partnering with a number of people who are going in, as well as many of the nationals. It seems the Holy Spirit of God has opened the door and allowing numbers of folks to come to Christ. In the month of May, we were there. As we partnered with the nationals and some Americans and gave the gospel, by the time we left, they came and said, Dr. Farrell, we have seen 1,558 precious souls get into the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? I want you to know this morning, you're hearing a man that believes the gospel still works. Would you say that with me, please? The gospel still works. It is still the power of God to salvation to every person that believes. And I hope you'll be a gospel bearer. I hope you'll be a gospel declarer. I hope you'll touch people's lives. Everybody you meet is going to live somewhere forever. Say that with me. Everybody you meet is going to live somewhere forever. I'm glad to be in a school that is developing leaders so that by the grace of God, you can have ministry in the local church and in the world for the glory of God. The messages that I'm going to preach this week, I hope will help you take that step. And so let's take it together. Be wide open. I'm praying God will change my life. I hope you'll pray for me as I deliver the word of God, that I'll be a help not only to you, but I'll take spiritual steps myself. Without further ado, stand for the reading and teaching of the word of God. Dr. Marriott, thank you for the privilege of partnering with you once again. I'm in Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm starting my reading down, please, in verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm drawing out of those series of statements from our Lord, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Title of the message, very simple this morning, an attitude of gratitude. Thank you. Would you be seated? We'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. You don't need us, but we desperately need you. And so I bow my unworthy head to tell you one more time, if you don't do it, it won't get done. I claim the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit of God on the basis of this passage of Scripture and fully expect to see you work in hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelist R.A. Torrey was a powerful preacher of the Word of God. Often he would talk about aggressive evangelism. In almost every one of his crusades, he gave the same illustration about a tragic boating accident in Lake Michigan, where everybody's life was in danger. Seeing what was taking place, college students formed a rescue team and began to swim in and bring these people out of death's jaws. One of them was named Edward Spencer. As a matter of fact, Edward Spencer single-handedly rescued 17 of those people who would have otherwise drowned. He was so weak laying on the sand, he said before he passed out, "Did I do my best? Do you think I did my best?" Tory would tell that every week. He was in Los Angeles, California, preaching, and he started to tell the story, and a man out of the audience said, "Sir, Edward Spencer is in the auditorium tonight." Tory said, "Spencer, if you are here, would you stand?" An elderly man whose body never recovered from the frigid Michigan waters stood slowly. The people erupted into applause. He said, "Sir, if you can, would you come to the platform?" He put his arm around him and he said, "I've been telling the story for years. Would you tell it in first person?" And so Spencer explained to the crowd how, with the help of God, he was able to rescue 17 people. When he finished, Tory looked at him and said, "Mr. Spencer, is there anything about that memorial night that sticks in your mind, something you remember more than anything else?" Spencer looked back and slowly said, "Yes, sir. Of the 17 people that I rescued, no one ever said thanks." That's too typical of our generation. 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Of the 19 heinous sins, right in the middle is unthankful. Romans 1:21, three sad words, "Neither were thankful." What is gratitude? It is the acknowledgement to God and to others of how they blessed and benefited my life. Think about it. The acknowledgement to God and to others of how they have blessed and benefited my life. Though the word gratitude is never found in your Bible, the word thanks and thanksgiving is used 137 times in 127 passages of Scripture. I want to talk to you this morning about an attitude of gratitude, and I want you to see what the Apostle Paul writes when he says to the church at Ephesus, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God." I would encourage you from the first day of chapel to take notes. When my children went to college, I said, "Don't you ever show up in chapel without your Bible, notebook, and something to write on, or in your case, maybe an iPad to take notes." I'll make it simple for you. Number one, when I speak of this matter of gratitude, of attitude, I want to talk to you about the communication of gratitude. Look down at the text. It says, "Giving thanks always." The word "give" is the idea of making a sacrifice. It's not just mentally, but it is verbally. Hebrews 13:15, "By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God." That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Psalm 50:14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows." That was verbally. Psalm 92:1, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. If it's good and you don't do it, it's bad if you don't." Would you like to have your prayers answered? Psalm 100:3 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Why would you march into the throne room of the King of the ages and begin to demand before you praise him for who he is and give him thanks for all that he's done? Psalm 105:106-107, the first verse, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Now, in the context of this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the filling of the Spirit. One of the evidences of a Spirit-filled Christian is the fact they have an attitude of gratitude. You need to understand, people that are complainers and critics are not Spirit-filled people. I don't care if you know the Greek language front to back. It's the fruit of your life that tells whether or not you're really walking with God. Those who are Spirit-filled people are thankful people. Some of you know the name Johnny Erickson Tada. She had a tragic diving accident many years ago. She's a quadriplegic. Interestingly enough, if you've ever read her books or know anything about her, she had to learn how to write again, and she couldn't do it with her hands, so she learned how to pick up a pen with her mouth, put it in her teeth, and write. She not only writes today, but she also draws. The first sentence she ever wrote after her tragic accident that has left her as a quadriplegic now for the rest of her life was this: "Gratitude is not a matter of feeling thankful. Gratitude is a matter of obedience." First of all, there's the communication of gratitude. Second, there is the continuation of gratitude. If you look at the text, it says, "Giving thanks always." Would you say that word with me? always. Say it again, please. Always. Somebody asked me one day, Dr. Farrell, what does always mean? I said, it's very simple. Always, always means always. That's what always, always means. You say, preacher, say that again. I probably could not if I tried. But it doesn't mean it's conditional. It means it is perpetual. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. If you only praise and give thanks when everything is good, you must have a God who's like the universal Easter bunny. We're supposed to praise God in good times and in bad times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, you're going to have to choose to be thankful. You're going to take some classes that are tough. You're going to have some relationships that may not pan out. It is possible, and I hope it does not happen, that someone you love may go to heaven this year. And you're going to go through tough times. You're going to have to make up your mind, will I be ungrateful or will I have an attitude of gratitude? Alexander White was a famous preacher in Glasgow, Scotland. He was always known for his upbeat, positive, grateful spirit. It had been raining for days in Glasgow. The people came to church and there was a whisper, I wonder what Pastor White will say this morning. And so you could hear the pitter-patter of rain on the roof. And Mr. White got up and looked at the audience and he said, let us pray. Here was his prayer. Dear God, thank you that every day is not like today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may have to say, thank God that class is over. Thank God that's not going to happen again. But you need to learn how to have an attitude of gratitude. In order to kind of indelibly press this on your mind, I'm going to start it, and I want you to finish it. We need to have an attitude, and you'll say gratitude. Are you ready? We need to have an attitude of?
Gratitude.
I'm almost convinced. Let's crank up the volume and try it again. Ready? We need to have an attitude of?
Gratitude.
One more time. We need to have an attitude of?
Gratitude.
So we've seen the communication and the continuation. In closing, I want you to see the concentration of gratitude. Notice the text says, giving thanks always for all things. So let me list for you today some things that I'm thankful for, and I hope you are. Number one, as I stand here this morning in the United States of America, I thank God for my freedom. If you do, would you say amen? Peter Jenkins walked across America and he said, America is America because of freedom. As you sit here, dear student friend of mine, 80% of the world is not free as you know it. They're under some type of scourge, whether it happens to be Islam or communism. They're under some type of situation. They cannot worship like we worship. I've traveled in 54 different nations, and some years ago, my wife and I were in Germany. I said, I'm going to Dachau. And I want to see the concentration camp. It has been restored and some of the places rebuilt. The first thing you'll see when you go to Dachau is the museum. The museum has pictures that are beyond description. My wife went through one room and was physically ill, and she said, honey, I cannot do this. I said, well, you go around to the waiting room. I'm going to look at every picture. And I walked through and I looked at men who were in harness just like an ox pulling plows. And I looked at people that looked like skeletons. And tears ran down my cheeks, and I said, we've never known this in the United States of America. I met my wife on the other side. I said, now let's go out into the courtyard. And I said, it was bitter cold. And she said, honey, it's so cold. I said, I want you to stand here for just a moment with the wind blowing in your face and imagine you don't have a coat on. All you have is prison issue. And as they stood at attention, many would drop dead. Then we went into rebuilt barracks. I don't know how anybody got into the bunk. They were so narrow. And they were flea infested. Interestingly enough, most of you realize and have read about the gas chambers. I want to come out publicly against neo-Nazism and KKK and all this other nonsense that's going on. That's not America that I know. My father fought in World War II. And I am a benefactor of that. And I resent much of the stuff that's going on. And you ought to, too. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave, but it's not the land of the reckless. And then I began to study about the execution chambers. They would strip the clothes off of the prisoners, and they would gouge out the gold from their teeth to put it in the Third Reich coffers, cut their hair off and make mattress insides of pillows for that. And then they would take them in, and they thought they were getting a shower, and as they packed them in, they would turn the gas on, and in moments they were in eternity. I knelt down and looked into one of the ovens where though no telling how many thousands of bodies were incinerated. And the ashes would float over to the city. And I wept as I said, we need to thank God every day for the United States of America. Psalm 127, 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. We are not a top-rated nation because of our nuclear warheads. We're a nation that was founded on biblical principles. You know my heartbeat? That every person in this building would first be a godly Christian and second be a real patriot, and that your salt and light would reignite a major move of God in these United States, because other than that, we have no chance in our future. I thank God today for our freedoms. Secondly, I thank God today in giving glory for faculties. Now, the faculty is your power to do. The fact that you can move your hands, the fact that you're seeing and hearing me. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. If you're glad to be in a school where they still teach 6 little days of creation, would you say amen? Amen. This is unusual because in some colleges they're questioning that, even those who name the name of Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, evolution is preposterous. I may have a few folks in my heritage who swung by their necks, but I have none that swung by their tails. Thank you very much. I was made in the image of a man who was made in the image of God. Proverbs 20 and verse 12 says, the seeing eye and the hearing ear, they're both made of God. Man can make an eye, but it won't see, and he can put another piece of flesh on the side of a head, but it won't hear. God does that. I wonder when's the last time you thought about the mechanical marvel called your human body. Today, as you sit here and hear the word of God, all kinds of things are working you're not even really considering. You realize when you got out of bed this morning, in the next 24 hours, your heart will beat 100,000 times. You rarely think about that. Most people don't get out of bed and say, good morning, heart. Please don't give up. We're both in trouble. But it pumps and rests, and it pumps and rests. Now, sometimes you're out jogging, pump, 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 pump. Sometimes you're sitting quietly, the thump, the thump. Sometimes she walks by, pump, 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 pump. Aren't you glad your heart does not get mixed up between resting and running? It'd blow you completely out of bed. Your heart in a lifetime will beat 2.5 billion times. Interestingly enough, you have 25 billion white blood cells that help fight disease, 25 trillion red blood cells that help carry oxygen and food, and God made those, and they move in direct order. You know, every 60 seconds, your heart will pump 10 pints of blood through 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and capillaries. You have 206 bones and 650 muscles and 100 joints. Many of them can withstand large pounds of pressure. Today, if you were to look down at your finger has 1,300 touch receptors. You say, why is that important? Because if you put your finger on something that is hot, you move it instead of becoming a crispy critter. That's why that's important. You have thousands of taste buds. So you go and have a Big Mac attack, and you get one, and you begin to eat that, and then pick up those French fries. And your mind from your taste bud says, salt, grease, heart attack. But without it, you would not be able to enjoy what you enjoy. I wonder when's the last time you thank God for your faculties. Let me say to you, if you get up in the morning and your whole concentration is on what you don't look like and what you don't have and what you don't appreciate, you're very ungrateful. A number of years ago, I was in Alabama. The pastor said, I'm going to take you to a specialist hospital. And he said, let me tell you what you're going to see before you get there. And I was glad he did. He said, you're going to meet a 16-year-old boy who's never walked and never talked. In fact, the doctors don't know why he's even alive. When this young man was a baby, he was laying on his stomach, and his drunken daddy, in a stupor, not knowing what he was doing, stepped on his vertebra and snapped it. And he's lived that way until he died about 17, 18. I remember walking down that long hall and going into the room, and Pastor was so kind, he walked to the head of the bed, and I went to the bottom of the bed. If I were to take my 2 fingers and put them together, that was the biggest part of his arm anywhere. If I took 3 fingers and put them together, the biggest part of his leg. I fought back tears. And Pastor went up. Remember, he's never talked. The young man's never talked in his life. And gently he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Joey, this is Pastor. Can you hear me?" And the eyes on the face that looked like skin over a skeleton open. And I heard him try to speak as he said, I thought, "I'd like to bring every young man who ever got cut off a ball team to stand at the bottom of this bed. Joey never went out for sports. I'd like to bring everybody who ever complained because they didn't have the mind somebody else had to the bottom of this bed and just let them stand here for a few minutes. Somebody wrote, 'I complained because I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet.'" Number one, you ought to thank God for your freedom. Two, you ought to thank God for your faculties. And three, you ought to thank God for your family. How many of you have Christian parents, at least one of them? Would you raise your hand? I wonder when's the last time you bowed your head and said, "Dear God, I could have been born in a drunkard's home. I could have been born in a home of a woman who sold her body to pay bills. I could have been born in a drug addict's home, but you so lovingly allowed me to be born in a Christian home. I was born in a Christian home. My mother and father served the Lord Jesus Christ, two of the godliest people to date I've ever met. I don't think, Dr. Marriott, my parents ever argued in the entire time of the 18 years I was on. If they ever argued, it must have been in sign language. I never heard it. They loved each other all the way to the end. But that's not always true of a lot of other people. Some of you have come out of a tough home. You say, "Yeah, I was adopted because my mother didn't want me." Then you ought to shout really glory today. Because it takes about $30,000 to adopt someone right now. By the time you live to be 18 years of age, overall, it's going to cost about $250,000 to raise you. And those people who adopted you did not have to have you. It might be a good idea to text and say, "Thank you so much for allowing me to have a home where you didn't have to have me come in." Today in the United States of America, there's 600,000 homeless children, age 4, 5, 6. They live in boxes and they live under bridges. And most of you know nothing about that. I wonder if you express by your attitude of gratitude to your parents how grateful you are for their investment in you. A number of years ago, my father passed away. As a matter of fact, it'll be 20 years this coming September. He took his flight to glory. I still remember the day I had his funeral. I used to always call him on Saturday night, and I would say, "Hey, Dad, if I'm out to 10 cents in the ministry, you're going to be one of the main reasons. You're my hero." He was my pastor for 18 years. Never had another one, and he was my father. And what he preached is what he lived, and I'm his benefactor. Interestingly enough, he's on the other side, and about 3 years ago, I was back near my hometown, and I said to the pastor, "If you don't have anything for me to do and don't mind, I think what I'd like to do is go down memory lane." And he said, "That'd be fine." So I drove about 1 hour to my hometown, and I went back to 416 Northridge Street. That's where they took me home. I don't remember much about that day, but that's where they took me. And then I went to Lindley Elementary School, where I spent 6 grades, over to Lindley Junior High School, finally to Grimsley Senior High School, and I just went down memory lane. I went back to the old church where the gospel was preached, and I got saved. I got saved by the grace of God. And I thought to myself, "Well, I guess I'll go to the cemetery." Now, I'm not spooky. My parents, neither one of them, are in that cemetery. Don't you ever say my parents are, they're not there. If you believe in the resurrection and you believe that absent from the body is present with the Lord, all there is the outside shell there. And I stood there and I called my sister and I said, "Sis, what you doing?" She said, "Where in the world are you?" I said, "I'm over at the cemetery and I hardly ever come here." She said, "I'll be over in a few minutes." And we held hands and I said, wouldn't it be great if Dad and Mom could get up and go with us to lunch? Now, I can tell you where we would go. Cracker Barrel, that's where we go. It's the will of God to eat at Cracker Barrel. My father told me that. And I would just like to sit again, and I'd say, rehearse for my sister and I some of the stupid things we did. Rehearse for us some of the ways that we grew up. But I can't do that. I have made the last phone call to my father to tell him I love him. I've sent the last note to my mother to say I love you. On Mother's Day, no more flowers go to my mom. She's on the other side. And there's coming a day, young people, you're sure going to wish you had an attitude of gratitude. And it wouldn't be a bad idea today to text or call back and say, thank you so much for investing in my life. And thanks for the privilege to go to Maranatha Baptist University. And I want you to know how much I love and appreciate you. Number four, I'm glad for food. How many of you like to eat? Could I see your hands? Eating is my favorite sport. It really is. I'm getting good at it my age. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be God that daily loads us with benefits. Wow. If you travel as much as I had, you could see empty shelves. I've never seen them in the United States. They don't have a variety of things. When I went into Russia 6 months after the wall fell, the lines sometimes were a mile to a mile and a half and sometimes 2 miles long, just waiting to get in anything to eat. And many times they were turned away because there wasn't enough to eat. I remember flying and preaching in Kenya, and we went to the Maasai people. And when we got there, they live in manure huts. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just trying to be helpful this morning. They take woven sticks and put warm cow manure on it. It's about the size of an igloo. I crawled in and sat next to my translator. There was a woman stirring a pot, and it stunk to me. She had three little children, and I said, please ask the lady how long it's been since they ate. And she looked up and said, 4 days. Most of you have never had to miss four meals, much less 4 days. I was preaching in India, and every morning I'd get up and run right about daylight because 2 hours later it's so hot you could hardly breathe. And I watched something I'd never seen. I watched beggars who were literally putting their hands in the sewer and wiping off something to put in their mouth to have breakfast. When's the last time you just didn't bow your head and say, thank God for food? When is the last time you bowed your head and paused and said, I'm eating, and half the world is starving right now? And finally, I'm thankful for my faith. Did you know that the gift of God is faith? Turn in your Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And look, please, at verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, delivered, rescued, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I thank God for every theologian sitting here, but let's don't try to get too cute. Somebody said, is it grace or faith that's a gift? Everybody listening this morning, all of salvation is a gift. From start to finish, it's all of Jesus Christ. And the fact that any of us are not in hell and we're heading for heaven is the gift of God. And this gift was told to us from the Word of God. Could I ask you this morning, how long has it been since you were really grateful for this book? I hope you'll start appreciating chapel. This should be the highlight of your day. I hope you'll come with an anticipation and your Bible will be open and your heart will be receptive. And in every chapel, you'll say, oh God, speak to me today. Change me today. I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I hope you'll go to every Bible class. You'll learn deep theology, but I hope more than that you'll learn who God is. Be still and know the I am. I am God. Hope you really get to know him. I told you I preached in Russia. We shipped in or took in 27,000 copies of the Word of God. One of the places where we preached, we had lots of people come to Christ, and then a friend of mine was preaching in a church meeting. A lady with a tattered sweater came in. She was missing two fingers, and she sat down very humbly in this Russian church, and she listened with total attention. When the invitation was given, she responded to receive Jesus, and after she'd made profession of faith, the pastor of the church took a brand new Bible that we'd raised the funds for and handed it to her, and she began to hold her hands out and said, no. I said to my translator, I paid you for this. You tell me everything she's saying. He said, she is saying, I can't afford a Bible. At that time, a Bible in Russia was too much salary. And the pastor said, oh, no, this is a gift from the Americans, and we want you to have it. And I'll go to my grave remembering she took it, and the first thing she did was held it up, and she began to pray. I said, what's she saying? He said, she's thanking God for the first Bible she's ever touched. The second thing she did was, and the third thing she did was hold it, just like you girls will hold a little baby one day. and tears came down. I had 15 men with me, and every man was sobbing. One pastor looked at me. He said, I've given out Bibles for years, and nobody has ever treated the Word of God like that. Are you aware this is a precious book that you hold in your hands today? Don't just throw it around. Don't treat it as insignificant. You ought to be grateful for every word that's in it. It came to us from God. If you ever have a chance, read a book called Tortured for His Faith by Harlan Popoff. I think it's still in print. I read it when I was a teenager. Popoff was in a communist prison. He was on a starvation diet. He said one day, walking in the compound, he saw a man who had a little book, and he was ripping a page out of this little black book, and he was putting tobacco in, rolling it up and lighting it and making homemade cigarettes. Popoff said, I got closer and closer, and I said, my soul, that's a New Testament. He said, without knowing, I reached out and grabbed it, and the man began to fight with me, and I let go, and I said, sir, I'm sorry, but that's a Bible. The man said, I don't know what this is, but if it means that much to you here, you may have it. He said, if the man had said, you cut your arm off and I'll give you this book, he said, I would have taken a knife and cut my arm off to have the Word of God. On a starvation diet, over the next few days, knowing fully well that he would have that Bible confiscated, he memorized 47 chapters of the Word of God. Do you know 47 verses? I want to know this morning, do you really have an attitude of gratitude for your freedom, for the faculties God has given you, for the family, for the food, for the faith that came to the resurrected Savior? Yonder in Tennessee lived an old man and his wife. They didn't have much, but they had each other. The old man passed away. He was a believer. His wife didn't have enough money to bury him, much less buy a monument. She went out to the old crude tools, and she had a flat rock, and she managed somehow to carve out some words on the flat rock in his memory. Only a handful of people came to the cemetery, but they were all curious at what she wrote. And as they would stand up and look at that little rock where those crude tools had as best possible printed out, they read these words concerning her husband. He was always thankful. Are you? Let's pray together. The only way you'll be changed this week is if you're willing. If God is going to change you, it needs to take place in every service. And I'm not giving an invitation this morning, but I'd like to ask a question. How many of you would begin this school year by saying, Dr. Farrell, the truth of the matter is, I do not really express the attitude of gratitude. From time to time I'm thankful, but it's really not a holy habit with me. And beginning this morning, for all that God is and all that God has done, I want to have an attitude of gratitude. God spoke to my heart. He dealt with me. I don't want just this to be another day. I want to start my school year on purpose with an attitude of gratitude. God spoke to me. I haven't had that, but beginning today, I want that. Would you pray for me? If that's true about you, would you raise your hand real high in the building? That's me. May we stand. We'll have prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I bow my unworthy head to thank you for Jesus, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. I thank you for an institution that next year will be 50 years old. I thank you for a faculty and staff that has made major sacrifices most of these students will never know. I thank you. They look at it as an investment for ministry. I thank you for the potential that is in this room, and I pray for every young man and every young lady, because the vast majority raised their hands and said, I really need an attitude of gratitude. May we walk across this campus today drawing your breath grateful, looking at your creation grateful, eating your food grateful, hearing and seeing and touching because you gave us those faculties. And may every day that we live, you get the glory from the gratitude of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.